Nathan Fraser Show, episode number 113, Tyranny, Technology, and the Twitter Mob. All right, here we go.
Mixing business with politics. This is the Nathan Fraser Show.
What is up, Free Market Squad, and the place to be? It's your boy, Nathan Fraser, High Priest of Propaganda. Thank you for taking a half hour out of your week to hang with me. This week, we're going to be talking all about the digital book burning era that we seem to be living in. It's not just confined to Alex Jones anymore. And as there's been so much over the last week and a half that's gone on in the world of censorship, in the world of social media and outside of social media, I've got a lot to talk about. And so let's just jump into it. So first of all, like I started off the show saying, a couple of months back, Alex Jones was like the first person to get completely unpersoned from the internet. They cut all of his social media in one day. The YouTube killed him, not killed him, but you know what I'm saying. Killed his channel, Twitter, same thing, Facebook, same thing, all within like a 24-hour period. MailChimp went after him. Freaking payment processors shut down. Like the SJWs, the liberal censors, authoritarians on the left just completely shut Alex Jones down. And a lot of my non-conspiracy theory friends didn't really care. They were just like, it's just Alex Jones. He's a nut job. I personally had a problem with it, not because I actually like Alex Jones, because I actually dislike Alex Jones, but mainly because I feel like, if you're the crazy person sitting out on the street corner screaming about how the sky is falling, does that disqualify you from being able to have an account on YouTube? If you're the crazy person who's schizophrenic and thinks that people are driving by your house projecting thoughts into your mind, does that mean you're not allowed to have? If you believe crazy, crazy shit and you want to spout it off on YouTube, does YouTube kick people off for that? My experience has been no. There's a lot of craziness on YouTube. Why Alex Jones was targeted is, in my opinion, because he was having the most effect. I think really most of this comes down to the fact that the people that run these social media platforms are pissed that Donald Trump won the election. They see Alex Jones and a lot of his ilk as being part of the reason why Donald Trump won the election. They don't realize that the reason that Trump won the election is just because Trump made promises that appealed to a lot of people. A lot of people are sick of authoritarian leftism. And Trump was the guy that was like, hey, I'm the guy that's not afraid to stand up to the PC police. And that attracted a lot of people. And cracking down on PC police activity is not going to win people over to your side. But again, people tend to double down on failure. Anyways, complete side rant. The fact is, a lot of people said, well, it's Alex Jones. Why should I worry about it? It's not going to come for me. Well, this is becoming more and more of a concern for normies because it is coming for the normies. It's not just the right wing, alt-right Nazis that are becoming victims of censorship now. This is now affecting a lot more of the normie culture out there. So last week, a lot of people probably heard about this. Baby, It's Cold Outside was removed from a lot of the radio airwaves because apparently it's too rapey for nowadays. People don't know the difference between trying to persuade someone to stay in with you. They can't tell the difference between persuasion and rape nowadays. So trying to convince a girl to stay in with you while it's snowing outside, Or a girl trying to convince a guy to let her stay there with him. That's pretty much tantamount to rape in today's culture. So Baby, It's Cold Outside was pulled from almost every single major radio station out there last week. And people are making fun of this. It's not the typical thing that, like I said, it's affecting normie culture now. And people are starting to realize what the outrage mob, what the implications of completely and consistently and constantly bowing to the outrage mob, we're starting to realize what effect that's having on society. Another great example of this was Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart is a comedian. So comedians are, it's their job to make jokes that make us question whether or not we should laugh at this particular thing that they just said. And Kevin Hart, 10 years ago, before he was the superstar that he is today, he made a, as far as I know, I only saw one. This was the only one that people were really going after him, but he made a gay joke on Twitter, on his Twitter profile. He made a joke about how if he ever saw his son playing with dolls or playing with a dollhouse, he would smack his son upside the head with the dolls or smash the dollhouse over his son's head because that shit is gay. And, you know, 10 years ago, I don't know. That might have been a passable joke. He was trying to be edgy. He was trying to get attention. A lot of times when you're a comedian, you just say offensive stuff just to get attention. You just say stuff that, you know, not every joke lands. And that was one of the jokes that probably didn't land at the time. But anyways, Kevin Hart was supposed to be the guest host of the Oscars this year. And immediately, the day after or within 24 hours of him being or within a week, I think maybe it was a little bit more than just the day after, but very short time after Kevin Hart was announced to be the host of the Oscars, a Twitter mob came down on the Oscars and came down on Kevin Hart over a tweet that he made about a gay joke 10 years ago. I think it was 9 years ago. So yeah, 9 years ago, and losing employment now because of a joke he made on Twitter 9 years ago. Kevin Hart, a black comedian, is not alt-right Nazi like Alex Jones. Yet we saw the SJW outrage mob, Twitter mob, handle him the exact same way that they handled Alex Jones. We don't like what this guy said. We're going to take away his ability to make money. Kyler Murray. I want to say I'm pronouncing that. It might be Murray. I want to say Murray, though. Kyler Murray, a football player, a college football player, just won the Heisman Trophy this last week. And within 24 hours, USA Today was running a hit piece on him, another black guy, sports player. And he apparently made a couple of tweets. I think this is back when he was 15 years old. So I don't know. 6 years ago in high school, making immature tweets, calling his friends queer. I think there was more than just one. With the Kevin Hart, I think it was just the one. I think with Kyler Murray, there was more than just one tweet, but made references, joked about calling his friends queer. Now, here's the thing. When we were kids, we let that shit fly all the time. Not queer, but we played Smear the Queer in football. It wasn't homophobic. We didn't even think of queer as meaning homophobic or homosexual until Queer Eye for the Straight Guy came out. We used to sing I Pledge Allegiance to the Flag. Michael Jackson is a fag. We used to call each other fags when we were kids. But growing up in hip-hop culture, calling people fag, calling people gay, I mean, still to this day, it's a pretty common thing. I'm kind of surprised the SJWs haven't gone full bore on attacking rap battles and hip hop culture as a whole. Completely tangential side note. Check out the new movie that Eminem put out on YouTube called Bodied. Phenomenal movie. Does a great explanation of why SJW culture does not mix very well with hip hop culture and the battle rap culture. Side note. Thank you for entertaining that, tangent there. I digress, but I get back. Anyways, the point is Kyler Murray won the Heisman Award and within 24 hours was being attacked because of tweets that he made when he was 15 years old by USA Today. Like I said, you can't, what I thought was cool to say and do when I was 15 years old was not what I thought was cool to say and do when I was 20 years old or when I was 30 years old. And to hold people accountable for things that they said on Twitter in private conversations meant to be between friends, 10, 5, however many years ago. It's a little bit crazy. Anyways, attacked by the outrage mob on Twitter and forced to apologize for calling his friends queer. And yeah, sweet. Poor guy. I feel bad for him. Should you call your friends queer on Twitter? I'm not going to make a value judgment either way about it. Like I said, I still have friends that, and maybe I'm just the old bigoted guy that can't realize how much of a bigot I am because I'm stuck in my ways. But one of my tattoo artist, who's one of my best friends in the world, constantly calls me a fag every time I do something stupid. He's like, stop being such a fag every time I don't want to go with him to a rap battle concert, or every time I, or a concert or a movie or something like that. Every time he wants to get out, I'm kind of a introverted guy. I don't really like to go out and be in public unless I'm the center of attention. Daniel, my tattoo artist, loves it. And, loves going out and watching movies and loves going to battles and loves going to concerts. And every time I don't go with him to one, he always calls me a fag. He's always like, stop being such a fag. I don't even think of it as homosexual or homophobic. That connotation doesn't even come up in my mind, but you know, he's definitely been called out by some of my Facebook friends for calling me a fag on Facebook, and that is what it is. I don't get offended by it. Other people, my offense is taken, not given, so whatever. I don't, you know, whatever. That's how I feel about it. Anyways, the fact of the matter is, the whole point of this is, it started with Alex Jones, and this censorship, this going after people's livelihood, going after their ability to make money, shutting down every aspect of their social media, shutting down every footprint that they have on the internet. It typically affects mainly people on the right. This last week, like I said, it's been out of control. Gavin McGinnis has been basically depersoned. His Twitter was taken down a while ago. His YouTube channel was taken off just a couple of days ago. He was fired or stepped down from whatever G, I don't know. He's on some sort of television network or internet television network. He was fired from that or stepped down recently after Glenn Beck apparently bought the network. Milo Yiannopoulos, same thing. They took away his Patreon. They took away his Twitter. Milo's pretty much been depersoned from the internet. Both of these two, Gavin McGinnis and Milo, they're edgelords. I could take or leave either one of them. I'm not a huge fan of either one of them, but I find some of the stuff they do to be entertaining. James Alsup was also, I believe, had his PayPal pulled. Same with Milo. I don't know if James Alsup lost his YouTube. I want to say that I think he lost his YouTube channel as well and his Patreon. James Alsup, definitely an alt-right guy. I'm not a fan of James Alsup at all. I think he says a lot of stuff that is just completely asinine. But hey, if there's an audience that wants his content and wants to pay him to create it, I think that's totally tolerable in my opinion. I'm the type of guy that even if you say stuff that I completely disagree with, I'm still going to defend your right to say it. I'm still going to defend people who want to hear it, their right to hear it. Also, Sargon of Akkad, who is again one of those guys that I like about half of what he puts out. I totally disagree with about half of what he puts out. He also had his Patreon pulled this last week. And Sargon of Akkad was one of those guys that was making a very good living off of Patreon. And because he said the N-word and he was talking about white people when he said it. He was calling white people the N-word when he said it. So completely out of context, not through his Patreon whatsoever. But he still, because he said something on a different platform that Patreon didn't like, they pulled his Patreon account and didn't take context into consideration. And so here's the deal. This is what we call the leper island effect, where you create an island and you say, okay, we're going to segregate these people from society. We're going to take them off of the internet. They're not going to be able to be on the internet, but it's just the lepers. We're gonna quarantine these people and completely cut them off from society, but only the lepers. And then once they get rid of all the lepers, they say, you know, that island works so great for dealing with the lepers. Let's take people who have like major deformities too, like people with elephantitis. Let's stick them on the leper island as well. And people with like extreme mental illness, let's stick them on the leper island as well. It works so great for the lepers. Let's add some of the crazy nut jobs to the island as well. And then you're like, you know, it's working so great for those people. Let's take people who are like amputees. Nobody wants to see amputees, and they kind of look like lepers. Lepers tend to lose limbs, and these people have lost limbs. Maybe we should put amputees on Leper Island as well. And so it starts off, we're only going to use it for the lepers, and then it's being used on the people with mental illness. Then it's being used on amputees. Then it's being used on people who have minor problems, like one eye is they got a lazy eye and one eye doesn't open to the same symmetrical effect as the other eye does. And so now we got to get rid of them as well. That's kind of what we're watching happen with the unpersoning on the internet. First of all, they're only going to go after crazy conspiracy theorists like Alex Jones. Then they're going to go after kind of middle of the road people like Gavin McGinnis and Milo Yiannopoulos and Sargon of Akkad. And now we're going after people like Kevin Hart and Kyler Murray and whoever it was that wrote Baby It's Cold Outside. See, it's not confined to just the lepers. And we didn't speak up when they went after Alex Jones. And we didn't speak up when they went after Gavin McGinnis and Milo Yiannopoulos and Sargon of Akkad. And now they're going after Kevin Hart. And now they're going after Kyler Murray. Because it's not about getting an apology. It's not about setting people straight. It's about control over society. These people want to control the culture. They want, it is a culture war. Whether you're a culture warrior or not, whether you want to pay attention to it or admit that it's going on, it's going on. There is a culture war going on, and it's between extreme authoritarian leftists and pretty much the rest of society right now. That's pretty much the two sides, because the people that are on that side, the authoritarian side, they've gone so far to the left that everything outside of cultural Marxism is pretty much alt-right Nazis to these people. Even black people are outside. They're no longer a protected class, of as we've seen with Kevin Hart and Kyler Murray. Even black people are fair game to these people now. So this is what happens when identity politics starts to eat itself. But again, it's not about they want apologies, but they demanded that Kevin Hart resign from doing this. I haven't seen quite as crazy demands about Kyler Murray, but I wouldn't be surprised if they start demanding that he gives up his Heisman Award. It's not about apologies. You apologize to these people, it's like blood in the water to them. They're like sharks. If you apologize, you show weakness, they just circle around you and go after you more. It's not about apologies. It's not about getting apologies. It's about getting control. It's about destroying anyone who disagrees with them. It's about doxing and deplatforming and going after your money. That's really what this is about. It's about going after your ability to put food on your plate, to put money in your pocket, to take care of your own children. We've seen, I want to say also something happened with Mike Cernovich, but I can't really verify that. I think I saw a headline about that. But this is what we're seeing. If you don't completely conform to the new way of thinking, which is, you know, alt-left all the way to the far left end of the spectrum, if you don't conform to this new way of thinking, you can't make money anymore. It's not about getting you to apologize. It's about completely destroying your life. It's about going and finding out who you are and where you live and who you work for and who your employer is and who your payment processor is, and completely destroying your ability to make a living and provide sustenance for your family. It's about pushing you to the brink of suicide if you don't blindly conform to their worldview. And it's not just about that. It's also about, on a grander scale, beyond just these fanatical lunatics on the left that make up Antifa and make up the Twitter mobs, the people above them, The reason why they promote this, the reason why these corporations and these politicians who cover for Antifa and who cover for these social justice warrior lunatics that are constantly attacking and destroying anybody who doesn't conform to their worldview, it's not just about the social media censorship. It's about the fact that politics follows culture. Politics is always downstream of culture. And right now, they're getting people to accept a culture of censorship, a culture of if you say something that offends someone, if you say something that goes against the mainstream narrative, you have a very good probability of being deplatformed. You have a very good probability of having your ability to make money, your ability to make a living completely stripped from you. And they want that to become socially acceptable on social media, because if they can get it acceptable on social media, then, like I said, politics is downstream of culture. If they can make it part of the culture that disagreeing with the authoritarians means you can't have a platform, you can't have social media, you can't have the ability to earn a living, if they can make it socially acceptable, if they can make it part of the culture, then it makes it a lot easier to start politically enforcing this stuff, to make laws around this stuff. So first they have to make it acceptable on social media, and then they can make it an acceptable part of the legal system. Right now, it's not an acceptable part of the legal system. Right now, free speech is still protected under the First Amendment, but only when it comes to government censorship. So if they can get you used to corporate censorship, it's a huge step forward to getting you to accept censorship from the government. I believe that that's why the politicians and the giant corporations, I believe that that's why they're not taking a stand against this stuff, even though it's cutting into their profits, even though it's losing them support from mainstream America, the normies out there at this point now. They're not fighting back against it. They're not taking a stand against it because they want it. They want us to march down the road to where free speech. Here's the deal. Free speech is a value. It's a cultural value. And we're one of the only countries that actually places value on it. And it's not about the amendment. It's about a societal value. And we're losing that societal value.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
The world is a scary place. You're justified in being afraid. Greedy capitalists are killing the planet. Nazis are hiding in every shadow. Unvaccinated kids are targeting your children. Oh, and don't forget about the Mexicans and the terrorists. They're all coming to get you. Threats loom around every corner. We understand if you're terrified, but you don't have to be. Introducing Massive Government. Let our trusty politicians take care of you. Let them decide how your money should be spent. Let them be the arbiters of what's right and what's wrong. Let them control what your kids learn in school. Let them take total control of everything. That way, you can get back to the things that really matter, like watching TV and playing the lottery. By now, you're probably asking yourself, how do I get me some more of this massive government stuff? Well, I've got good news for you. For the low, low price of half of everything you earn and your complete submission to our authority, you can have peace of mind, a false sense of security, and everything else that comes along with massive government. The best part is, you don't have to send us any kind of payments. We're already taking them out of your paycheck. As an added bonus, trade in your freedom today and you'll receive 25% more authoritarianism for the lifetime of your account. That's a total of 100% control over your life. And all you have to do to cash in on this offer is nothing at all. Keep on watching TV, keep paying your taxes, keep voting, keep living in fear. Just don't start thinking for yourself. That's our only requirement. Keep doing the things you already do, the things you've always done, and we'll be here to rule over you like we always have been. The world is a scary place. Submit to massive government and feel safer today.
Now, back to our show.
So, what should we do? A lot of people are saying, well, what we should do is we need to regulate social media like we do public utilities. You know, I'm not a big fan of that. If we start regulating social media, what happened when we allowed the government to regulate media in the first place? It all became sanitized. It became controlled. It became infiltrated with MK Ultra and the CIA and Project Mockingbird. I'm not sure that I want to hand over regulation of the internet to the government, because the government has not proven trustworthy in the way that they've regulated regular media, mainstream media. I don't want to trust the same people that turned mainstream media into the propaganda arm of the government. I don't trust those same people to regulate social media and not have it turn out the exact same way. So should we regulate social media like we do a public utility, or like we allow them to do regular mainstream media? Not a fan. That's not an alternative, or that's not a solution that I'm behind. Another thing that I've seen people talk about is an internet bill of rights. How do we enforce an internet bill of rights? How do we say, how do we give the government the ability to enforce something like an internet bill of rights? The problem is that the internet is not just America. The internet is all over the world, and different parts of the world have different ideas about what rights are. Like I said, the majority of the world doesn't believe in free speech the way that we do. So how do we enforce free speech that we've come to appreciate and love here in America? How do we enforce that on the rest of the world? You know, there is no real way to do that. There is no way to say what we have as our Bill of Rights needs to be applied to the entire internet, because that's just not going to fly in places like North Korea or China or any Muslim dominated area or anywhere in Europe right now, European Union, where hate speech is something that they're just going absurdly, ravenously after. Is an internet bill of rights a feasible solution to this? I don't see it as being so. Also, here's the thing. Platforms should have the right to decide what their brand is about, who's on their platform, what their brand is known for, who's associated with their platform, who their target audience is. If I started a social media platform and I said, hey, this social media platform is exclusively for people who want to hook up and meet people to hook up with, and then I had a bunch of like MGTOW people joining it, I would be like, hey, you guys need to get off of this site. The site is not for you. So again, if I wanted to start up a social media network and say, hey, this is the social media network for right-wing radicals, and then a bunch of left-wing people came in and started trying to infiltrate my social media company, I'd be like, hey, you guys aren't our target market. You're not what we want to be known for. Anybody who's posting pro-Obama stuff is going to get kicked off. It's just the way that is. This is not a pro-Obama. This is a MAGA, MAGA media or whatever. I don't know. I don't know if that's a .com. Maybe I should stop the podcast and go buy it real quick. Anyways, the point is, as a platform, you should have the ability to decide what you're known for, what your target audience is, who you're there to serve. You should be able to decide those things. And again, free speech, where do we draw the line? Tumblr just got rid of a bunch of not safe for work contributors because it was discovered that they had a bunch of child porn on Tumblr. And so if I was running Tumblr and I found that people were abusing the lax regulations that we had in order to upload child porn, yeah, I'd fucking cleanse that shit from my website. Anybody who even came close to posting anything that, what is it? There's like a name, Lollipop, or I don't know, some kind of name for like drawn, not actual child porn, but like a loophole that fucking pedophiles get away with by drawing children being raped rather than photographing children being raped. A lot of, and this may be like, people might say, oh, well, Nobody's actually being harmed and blah, 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 blah. And this might make me not a good libertarian, but I don't give a fuck. If I knew that people were posting that shit on my social media, I'd kick them the fuck off right away. And again, this violates the non-aggression principle. I don't give a shit. If somebody was drawing naked pictures of my stepdaughter, I'd kick the fucking shit out of that person. Yeah, they didn't hurt her, but I don't give a fuck. I would beat the fuck out of that person. Because that's just not what I'm down with. And if somebody was using my platform, if somebody was using Podcast Blast Off to do a podcast about how to draw the finer aspects of naked children, I would kick them off of Podcast Blast Off. As a platform creator, as a platform provider, I believe that me, Podcast Blast Off, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, I believe they have the right to kick people off. Patreon, PayPal, I believe they have the right to kick whoever they want off of their platform for whatever reason that they want. So I'm not for government regulation. I'm not for an internet bill of rights. I'm for the right to discriminate. And again, some people are going to hear that and be like, what do you mean you're for the right to discriminate? I'm absolutely 100% for the right of businesses to be able to discriminate against whoever they want to discriminate. You're a Christian baker. You don't want to bake a cake for a gay wedding. Don't do it. You're a gay baker and you don't want to bake a cake for a Christian. Don't do it. I don't think you should have to do it. The fact of the matter is, if you own a business, you should be able to discriminate who you do and don't do business with. And this idea of regulating these companies and forcing them to do business with people they don't want to be associated with, I don't believe that that's the right solution. So what is the right solution? Because I'm definitely not cool with Alex Jones being, like I said, can't stand Alex Jones, but I'm not happy about, I'm actually terrified about what they did to him because I know that I could be next. And I see that it's not limited to, like I said, the leper colony effect, the leper island effect. It's not limited to Alex Jones. Now it's spread beyond him. And when it happened, this is something that I warned was going to happen. You can go back and listen to that episode. What's the solution? Well, here's the deal. Here's the thing. Right now, we have kind of like the satanic panic that we had back in the 80s where moral Puritans are freaking out about everything. Instead of seeing demons and Satanism behind every rock and inside of every shadow, it's Nazis and fucking alt-right fascists that they're seeing now. It's the exact same thing, though. It's almost the exact same thing as the satanic panic that we had in the 80s. And here's the deal. There's typically two kinds of people in the world. There's people that create, and there's people that destroy. And the people that create, they create because that's what they get their sense of self-worth. They create YouTube videos. They create products. They create services. They create fortunes for themselves. People like Alex Jones. Alex Jones is... I don't know what his net worth is, but I'm sure it's in the millions of dollars. People like Sargon of Akkad, who is making multiple thousands, multiple tens of thousands of dollars every month off of his Patreon account. These people create, and that's where they get their sense of self-worth is from creating. And then there's people who can't create. People like the SJWs who just are garbage. They're just worthless people. They don't contribute any value to society. Nobody wants to buy their shit. Nobody wants to pay them for their garbage, liberal arts or gender studies degree. Nobody gives a fuck. They don't offer any value to society. They're worthless human beings at that age. Again, I should probably not be so harsh because at that age, I was very much in line with a lot of the social. And to be honest, there's still some of the social justice warrior ideals that I'm behind. I believe that women should have the same opportunity as men. I believe that black people should not be discriminated against. I believe that homosexuals should not be discriminated against. You have the right to discriminate against them. You have the right to discriminate against white people, but I don't think that that's a healthy way. I don't think it's best for society. I don't think it's everybody involved. I don't think that it's they're best served by discriminating. You want to discriminate? Go ahead. Do I think that it's the best thing to do? Absolutely not. So I'm for some of the things, you know. I don't like poor people. I don't like poor people. That's not what I meant to say. I don't like the fact that there are poor people. I don't like the fact that there are people that are homeless. I don't like the fact that there are some people that the central banking system, the way that people manipulate the central bank. There was a lot of stuff about Occupy Wall Street that before they went super off the deep end on the left, I agreed with them. There's a lot of stuff inside of the social justice warrior mentality that I actually agree with. But overall, I'm going to have to say this: the majority of the social justice warrior crowd, they're worthless people. They're people that don't offer or contribute anything to society other than forcing their morals on people and destroying other people and tearing down the creative juices of other people. And so, like I said, there's two type of people. There's people that create, and the people that create usually, they usually end up being very beneficial to society. And then there's people who can't create, people who are worthless, people who don't offer anything to society that society actually wants. And in order for those people to feel good about themselves, they have to tear people down. They have to destroy. They have to, because it's just like a bully. Bullies bully people because they don't feel good about themselves. Well, these social justice warriors, they hate themselves. And in order to make themselves feel like, you know, they're unemployed, they're in debt, nobody gives a shit what they're saying. And so the only way that they're a lot of them are overweight. They look disgusting. They're terribly underweight. They don't shave their armpits. They're ugly feminists with mental illness haircuts. And nobody wants to hire them and nobody wants to associate with them except for people within their own echo chamber. They're radicals. They're people that are no fun to hang out with. And so as far as society as a whole goes, nobody values what they contribute. So they feel worthless. And in order to get some sort of worth, in order to get some sort of feeling of value, of self-worth, self-importance, they attack other people. They destroy other people. And right now, they found a way to do that through Twitter mobs, through doxing campaigns. But it's only going to last for so long. And it's already to the point, like I said, the leper island effect, it's already to the point where it's gone beyond what most of society found socially acceptable. Now they're banning Christmas songs. Now they're talking about how Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer needs to be banned, how Frosty the Snowman needs to be banned. They're talking about how tweets that Kevin Hart made 10 years ago need to destroy his ability to make an income today. They're talking about tweets that Kyler Murray made when he was 15 years old should make it to where he's not able to win the Heisman Award today. They've gone too far. The people, the majority of mainstream America, the normies out there, are no longer turning a blind eye to this. This is something that I've noticed inside of the entrepreneur community. I have a lot of friends that wouldn't speak up about this type of stuff a year ago. They wouldn't talk against SJWs. They wouldn't talk about identity politics. They wouldn't push back when shit started getting banned a year ago, 2 years ago. It really hasn't been going on more to the extreme that it is. It hasn't been going on more than about 2 years. And a lot of my business friends were afraid to speak out against it when it started happening 2 years ago. Not anymore. The majority of my business owner friends are sick of this shit too. And they don't care about the negative optics that they used to be afraid of when they talk against the SJWs. They're no longer afraid to speak out against the SJWs. The SJWs are going to lose their influence over society, just like the extreme authoritarian Christians did after the satanic panic of the 80s. They're losing their power. And the platforms like Patreon and YouTube, if they're going to continue buckling to these SJWs, they're going to lose the support of mainstream normie America. And they're going to be in for a harsh reality, a really sour wake-up call. They're going to lose their money. Their investors are going to start pulling out. The people that use the platform are going to start leaving. All of these things are already happening, and it's going to continue to happen until people start realizing, the people that run these companies start realizing, hey, we need to stop buckling to the SJW Twitter outrage mob. And that in my opinion, is going to be a much more effective solution than government regulation of social media or an internet bill of rights or any of these other ideas that people have talked about. Letting this mental virus run its course and letting the immune system of freedom-loving, individualistic Americans fight back against it. Letting normie culture finally say enough is enough and start pushing back like we've started seeing over the last week. That's what's going to put an end to this. That's what I have faith in. Faith in each other, not in authority. That's the tagline for this show. My name's Nathan Frazier. I hope you enjoyed this rant. If you did, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast feeder it is that you used so that you never miss an episode in the future. I'm out of here. Deuces. Okay, and before we're out of here, I do have to let you know about a way that you can actually support me and become a member of the community, become a member of the Free Market Squad. Not only will you help keep food on my plate, you'll also learn a lot of things that you can do to help increase the amount of profits that you're making in your own business. And if you want to learn more about that, you can head on over to freemarketsquad.com. You'll see what becoming a member of the Free Market Squad entails. You'll see a bunch of bonus trainings that I have available for you, brought to you by some of the greatest marketers in the world, teaching you how to make more money out of your business. And I'm not a big fan of, I don't have a donate button. I don't have a Patreon, not because I don't want extra money. I love money and I love all the money that people want to give me, but mainly because my main focus for my community, I want to add extra value for people. I don't want to just beg people for money. If people are going to be paying me, I want to be giving them something that's going to make money back for them. The way that I do that is offering the trainings that are available over in the Free Market Squad. So if you're interested in that, head on over to freemarketsquad.com, become a supporting member of the show, and get access to a bunch of trainings that will do what they've done for me, help you make a lot more money in your online business or your offline business. My name is Nathan Frazier. I'm the High Priest of Propaganda. Figure out how to become a member of the Free Market Squad by heading over to freemarketsquad.com. I'm out of here. Deuces.